Yo, welcome to Spectator Sport, and I'm Zach Roach, along with my partner, Mr. Adi Wally. We got a big show. We doing a review of the big fight, and you know we talking boxing. You know we brought Byron here with us, and we got Julio from Hard War Bangers. Let's talk about the review of the fight between Francis Ngannou and AJ Joshua. Man, we thought we was going to see an epic fight, but it didn't turn out so well. So, Julio and Byron had a bet. And right now, I'm going to give Julio the floor and tell me what happened in this fight.
Okay, so basically, Adi had a piece of the bet, too, and I won.
Right.
So, basically, what happened was, I didn't predict the early KO, but I did predict Joshua coming out with the jab. He did the body work, and then he softened and got me up. He timed him with the right hand, and once he landed the right hand, he had him hurt. He didn't really follow up on him and get on him, but he already figured him out. So he really just, you know, methodically broke him down and got him out of there. It just only took two rounds for him to do it. So I remember when I made my prediction that Joshua was gonna win, that someone told me that someone on Instagram had something to say about my prediction. Well, who's laughing now? aside from that, you know, I can see why people would think that Ngannou was gonna win. He's a strong guy, and seeing that his punching power from the MMA or UFC side. However, you know, it doesn't translate or convert over to boxing. So I want to congratulate Joshua for showing all his doubters wrong and having a very impressive victory over, you know, somebody that people were actually rooting for.
Yeah, that Francis Ngannou, I gotta give him credit. He stepped in the ring, but AJ Joshua looked like a beast out there. Byron, what happened today? What happened in that fight?
I mean, Anthony Joshua did what he was supposed to do. Again, this was a high risk, low reward fight. I actually disagree with the breaking down of Ngannou. I think AJ kind of said it at the end of the fight. He initially looked at fighting Ngannou as a gimmick fight, and then he saw Ngannou versus Fury.
Yeah.
And he realized this is a guy that can, you know, end me, and this is a guy that does know what he's doing. And so Anthony did what he should have did. He was very aggressive in finding that right hand. And when he found it, he made sure he put everything behind it. It was crazy because at the beginning of the fight, he was actually kind of practicing it with his trainer, the right hand, and turning his body into that shot and not just trying to aim it, but actually just throwing it to, you know, do some damage. And he hit him with it. And so this was a, you know, it was a good fight as far as Anthony Joshua basically doing and kind of asserting himself that, you know, we're not going to let a guy from MMA coming here against our top two stars, and he definitely did what he was supposed to do. It was a good shot. Great, great knockout.
Definitely. Knocked him down three times, second round knockout. Adi, talk to me about the fight. What'd you see in this fight today?
Yeah, straight right hand by Anthony Joshua in the first round. Knocked Ngannou down in the first round. So we're thinking like maybe he'll bounce back. Maybe that'll kind of wake him up and he'll recover from that and box well throughout the fight. But then he took a vicious right hook in the second round. Got up from that, and then we're like, okay, here comes the finishing move.
Yeah.
And then he got him with another knockdown, and he was on the canvas for, 10 minutes, it looks like.
He might still be down.
Yeah. It's like, is he going to get up?
You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's not power on him.
Yeah. I'm glad he got up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, damn, man, hopefully he's okay. He got up. He was fine and everything. He came in there. He took on a huge risk coming from MMA to boxing, and he had a lot of momentum, and it was looking like he was going to make history, possibly. But Anthony Joshua, he's back. Yeah. Anthony Joshua is back.
Okay? Yeah.
Like, he lost to Usyk in that second fight. In that second fight, he still fought a really good fight in that second fight against Usyk, but in 2023, he got really active. The opposite of what Wilder does, okay, he fought three times in 2023. Mm-hmm. He kept building momentum, got a couple of stoppages. That's the key, you know what I'm saying, fighting every like 4 months.
Four fights in 11 months.
Yeah, so that was huge. This is a big win for boxing today. Yeah. Huge win for boxing, okay, because if Ngannou would have won this fight, he would open up the floodgates for MMA fighters to go from MMA to boxing because
Ghana is world champions.
Right. And in Ghana, we make over $10 million against Fury, over $20 million today against my man Anthony Joshua. So that would open up the floodgates, but now it's kind of like.
Well, I got a question.
Yeah.
Okay, well, seeing as though Ngannou had a fight that could be argued that he beat Tyson Fury, because I've heard people say that, but then now he's been put in with Joshua and he's been knocked out in the second round, like totally dominated. So, in theory, did Fury just get exposed?
No, he did not, because I think Fury. Like you said on this previous show, he was like more out of shape for that fight. He wasn't in his regular shape, his fight shape. He underestimated Ngannou. There was an element of surprise. So Joshua didn't have that element of surprise.
He said it at the end of the fight.
He looked at the fight.
I saw him against Fury, and I was coming out here to win this fight. Like I was, and that's the. We all saw, you know, the shape that Fury was in coming into that fight.
Okay,
Fury wasn't in his.
Next question. Why did y'all bet on him then? Why was y'all talking all this crap before y'all bet on him?
Because AJ, since 2019, AJ hasn't shown consistency.
He had Ruiz.
Then he'll lose to Usyk. Then he'll beat Hellenius. You know, he's just been up and down, up and down. So I was like, this guy, he's up right now. Like, he's just time for him to, you know what I mean? But he showed some, finally, he's being consistent. So,
yeah, and to pile on to that, again, Ngannou, in his first professional fight, went 10 rounds against who many look at as the perennial heavyweight champion. And so I'm not discrediting that fact, and I'm not, you know, saying that he went in there his first professional fight and went 10 rounds with the heavyweight champion. And also AJ, he doesn't win when the lights are bright, you know, and as much as the people that are going to come on and AJ's back against Ngannou, but AJ's last fight, you know, people saw holes in it, and if he fights another big fight, you know, if he does get the winner of Fury Usyk, which I don't think he will, but if he does, he's going to be a heavy underdog in that fight. And he's probably going to lose that fight. So, I mean, you get out everything that you have to get, you know, and enjoy this victory. But there's a down to this roller coaster, ladies and gentlemen. There's a down slope to this London Bridges.
So let me ask y'all something.
They fall down.
Let me ask y'all something about Ngannou. So could he have approached it different? Like coming to this fight, or what? Like, is it something he could have did different, or maybe he attacked from a different perspective, this was inevitable?
If you rooted for Ngannou, you rooted for the underdog. I mean, this is Anthony Joshua is a world champion. Okay, Tyson Fury is a world champion, and so I think what happened was supposed to happen. We rooted for chaos. We rooted for the guy with the power to come in against the guy who's up and down, who the bright lights kind of dim him. And so I don't think this is something that needs to be dissected, and I don't think you should take the parts of this and kind of overanalyze them as like they shouldn't have been here. I appreciate the fact that Ngannou, from where he came from, negotiated two top tier fights where he made in excess of almost $40 to $50 million. Yeah. And I'd rather celebrate that. I'd rather celebrate that Anthony Joshua can move forward on the win streak that he has and puts himself in position to be greater in the heavyweight division. I think it's a win-win on both sides.
Yeah, win-win. But, you know, the thing about what he could have did differently, I did notice against Tyson Fury, orthodox fighter, my man Ngannou came out. He was in southpaw stance a lot, which fucked up. I mean, really confused Fury.
Right.
So, but to kick it off against AJ, my man Ngannou kicked it off in orthodox stance. I think he should have started from the get-go in southpaw stance to throw off AJ, because AJ probably was preparing for orthodox, and he came out of orthodox. He should have came out of southpaw. Looked like he switched to, Ngannou switched to southpaw after he got knocked down already, and it was too late.
It was too late, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, after that first knockout, it looked like he was out of it because he got hit square and he just...
I don't think he could have game planned his way to... You know, we rooted for chaos and we rooted for what was going to happen against Fury and translate to this fight. But I think Joshua kind of reigned supreme with what he said at the end of the fight. He said, I saw that fight and it was like, nah.
He wasn't going.
I'm not about to lose to this guy.
All right. I can see that, but I don't know. When looking at the fight, I saw things in Ngannou that made me say, like, okay, he lost this bad against Joshua, but he fought so well against Fury. So judging off of those two performances, it makes me ask the question, can Ngannou beat any good heavyweights? Right? So with me, I'm looking, I'm analyzing, you know, how many good heavyweights we got in the game, how many young guys we got in the game, who's coming up, who's going down, who's running it. And I think you guys, I agree with you saying Ngannou was a breath of fresh air to boxing. So I don't think that he should stop boxing. I think that he should have picked his battles a little better. You know, he aimed for the top in his first two
fights. He picked the most lucrative. And again, you would have to know his origin story. He picked the most lucrative.
Yeah.
I mean, he got 10 plus million to fight Fury. He got 20 million to take a nap.
And he doesn't have a lot of time left. He'll be 38 years old in August. Right. So it's not like he can just play around. He gotta go for the jugular.
If you think about it, if you really...
Who comes out of MMA and gets a fight with the top two guys?
That's what I was gonna say. It almost makes you question, like, how did he get the fight? Out of all these people that deserves that's mandatory challenges.
I think his performance against Fury got him this fight.
Well, okay, well, what was the performance before Fury that got him to fight with Fury?
That's a good point.
Just the UFC heavyweight champion. I mean, look at the state of boxing.
I think it's the money, though. The money yeah, was to be made. Like, exactly. You know, Ngannou, the ticket sale. Like,
you also have to look at who invested into this fight.
Absolutely.
Saudi gets what Saudi wants. Yeah.
But I got a question for... I'm sorry, I don't mean it. But all of the experts picked Joshua to win. So this brings me back to my original question. Why did y'all bet?
Not all of the experts.
Yeah, all the experts. No, I wrote it down. All the experts picked Joshua.
He said he
not all. Yeah, that's all that during all the expert commentators during the event picked Joshua.
Maybe I don't trust experts. Joshua.
You got, huh?
Maybe I don't trust Joshua when the lights are bright.
He, you know, like I said, you know, consistency.
It's a good bet.
So
okay, I mean, just checking.
Okay, so I bet against him his next fight. Guarantee you that.
I'm going to give Ngannou credit for what Byron said. Yeah. The man, you know, 38 years old, fought the two top heavyweights in the division, yeah, made over, what, $40 million? Yeah. You know, so I give him credit for that. I give him credit. But let's talk about Byron. What should be the next move for Joshua now? What's going for now? Joshua, he absolutely demolished Ngannou. Absolutely. What's next now?
Like I tell you guys, do you want to live in imagination land? Because these guys, some guys might take you to imagination land. Or do you want to live in a real world? And this is the real world. I don't think that there will be just one Fury Usyk fight. I think that's going to be a rematch in that. So I don't think it's realistic to say that he's going to get the winner of that fight next. I think realistically he has two options, Wilder or Parker, possibly. I would love to see him get Wilder out the way. I think Wilder is a wounded animal in the division, and it'll be a great kind of stocking stuffer for his resume and where he's going forward. So I would love to see him get Wilder later this year in a fight that, you know, a couple years ago I picked Wilder, and now I might pick him in that fight. A fight against Parker, I don't know. I'll be on the brink of. I think that's a tougher fight, but I think Wilder does everything that you need it to do, and it's a lot less risk as far as you, because you don't want to lose. You're not going to lose a fight and get the winner of Tyson Fury and Usyk. So I think the logical option is to go after Wilder.
Mm. Yeah, I feel you there. Adi, talk to me. What's next for AJ Joshua after a dominant performance right today?
Well, yeah, he was interviewed after the fight. He said his focus is on the winner of Usyk versus in the Gypsy King, okay, coming up in May. But yeah, like Byron was saying, it's probably going to be a rematch for that fight. And so AJ being very active has been working out really well for him. So he should look to fight someone else if he can't get one of those guys. So the IBF mandatory challenger is from Croatia, Filip Hrgović. Okay. The guy, he defeated the Chinese KO artist Big Bang Jang. He's 17-0. He's 31 years old. He has an 82% knockout rate. So that's an option for him. Joseph Parker, you know, he easily beat Joseph Parker 6 years ago. Yeah, yeah. He did. Okay, right. So he can get a rematch, but that was a long time ago, so maybe Joseph Parker can give him a better fight this time. Anthony Joshua would have been 29 years old and Deontay Wilder 33 years old if they fought when they were supposed to 5 years ago. Okay, but now Deontay Wilder, he's washed up. He's a shell of his old self. That fight against Joseph Parker, he got shut out. He didn't win one round. He looked really bad. And so, but it could still be a good fight because Joseph Parker, he was really clenching and pushing his weight on him.
Right.
AJ don't really fight like that. He don't really try to bully people that much.
And I think you make that fight easy. It's not like a hard negotiation. I think Wilder is, you know, kind of counting paydays, and that might be one to the, you know, next to the last. And I think it's feasible for that to you know, fall into place.
Julio, so you picked Joshua. You tried to tell us. Some people didn't listen to you, but what's next for Joshua?
Okay, so I think dealing with Joshua, you really can't judge him off of his performance because of the inexperience of his opponent. So I still don't see him going after the winner of Fury or Usyk. I would like to see the fight, but I wouldn't want to see him going in there with Usyk again. So I would like to see him maybe fight Wilder. You know,
Wilder.
I mean, just going off of what's left, he beat Parker and it was very convincingly. So I feel like it's nothing that Parker could do to make it an entertaining fight. However, the manager would say, take Parker, he just got the belt off of
Big Bang Jane.
They have a rematch clause.
They have a rematch clause, so they have to come back. And let's be honest, it's very possible that Parker could lose the rematch if he don't make it past the early rounds while Chang is fresh. So then you got Joshua that's in this limbo of trying to find a worthy opponent.
Hrgović.
I really don't think that he would take that fight because this was sort of a low risk and a high risk, low reward fight.
Yeah.
So I don't see him doing that back to back. But what I can say is that Eddie Hearn is very good at what he's doing by putting Joshua in certain positions where he can show off his good side and still have a comfortable way to a victory. So with that, his possible opponents, I would say either he's gonna end up with Wilder or none other than Parker because he has a belt. Those are his only two options.
He already beat Andy Ruiz.
Wilder doesn't have an opponent.
Right.
And Parker.
Parker. Parker's supposed to do the rematch with Big Bang.
Right, but I'm saying he'll take Wilder
and then get
Parker after the rematch.
Right.
Jane.
Wilder, that's just,
it's a rivalry. It's written against America, it sells. Wherever they have the best man, it's going to sell out.
That's true.
Better than Canelo and Munguia, right?
Tune in next time.
You only want to talk
about Canelo. Tune in next time, Canelo fans.
Hey, so, Ari, talk to me about this. So, Ngannou, coming from the MMA now.
Yeah.
So, you've seen a lot of this now, a lot of this cross-matching now. With this fight, it happened. Now, this is only one fight, so this is not to say it won't happen again. But what's the future of MMA fighters, you think, going against like top level boxers going forward?
Well, I mean, it's going to continue to happen. The most money, the biggest purse that Francis Ngannou got in a MMA fight, UFC fight, was $600,000. Okay, in a fight, and he just made $20 million a day.
Two fights.
Yeah, well, he got $10 million against Fury, and then $20 million against Joshua. So it's going to keep happening. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah.
As long as the sale tickets, right?
Yeah. So, I think Ngannou, as far as, you should, you know, stay boxing. Don't leave with no wins. So, you know, Andy Ruiz Jr., he's been out for a year and a half because he has shoulder surgery, but he's been talking since Christmas about how he's ready to fight. He wants to fight in 2024. That'll be a good fight. Ngannou, Andy Ruiz Jr. If Anthony Joshua doesn't fight Wilder, okay, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, Big Bang James in there too. He needs like a tune-up fight. He's been going after the best. So I don't think it's over for him, but like I said, he'll be 38 in August. He has less than 2 good years left of fighting. So yeah, get a couple of wins under his belt, get better, and then maybe in 2025 fight for the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship.
Julio, do you think a fight that Ngannou just faced, how he just got knocked up, you think that can kill his confidence? Like, maybe not that where he want to keep stepping in the ring with boxers, or he's just a fighter here and he don't care?
Absolutely. Yeah. No one wants to get hurt like that every time you step in the ring. And not only does it change the way you fight, but it hurts your marketability as a boxer. So you would say, okay, he just got knocked out like that in the second round by Joshua. Well, who could you match him against that he won't get knocked out like that? Joshua is not known as an early knockout guy. He just got knocked out in the second round by a guy who doesn't knock people out early in the fight. Do you, either one of you, remember a time when Joshua knocked anyone out in the second round?
I don't know. I can't remember. I know he
can't recall.
He got Otto Wallen in the fifth round, but
okay, yeah. But the second round. So that's kind of unheard of for Joshua. So just imagine the real boxing people who really are in this. They'll say, well, if he did that to you in the second round, what? Do you really stand a chance against anyone else? This guy's not known for doing that, and other boxers see it. They pay attention to the punch that landed, how it was thrown, and you know what the effect it had. It's like being exposed. I think Ngannou got exposed, and what he should do is go back and fight John Jones MMA. Take some time off from boxing, go back to MMA, go with what you're good at. You know, and
you
not saying
you made your money.
Not saying he's bad at boxing, because I don't want to contradict myself, because I did ask if there was any good, and I did say he might have some success in boxing later, fighting other guys. But any of the top guys, after Joshua just did that, I really don't see it happening. So I think he should go back to MMA, give those guys what they want. And you know what they want, right? They want to see him in there with John Jones.
Byron, talk to me about Ngannou. So what's his next move? Like, is this it for boxing? Is his confidence shook? Should he go back to MMA? Like Julio said, what you think?
I don't think it's a confidence thing. I think Ngannou, well, first of all, Ngannou is contracted to the PFL. So he's contracted to an MMA promotion. I believe that he has said that he will be fighting this year in MMA. His first bout is going to be for the heavyweight title. And, you know, as far as fighting John Jones is UFC, Francis Ngannou is PFL. And Dana White has come out and said that fight will never happen. And Dana is the equivalent of white Jesus. So I don't think that John Jones Ngannou will happen. I think John Jones, I believe his next fight will be his last, and then he'll retire. But again, it's Francis Ngannou is an MMA fighter. That's where most of his success has come from. He's going to fight MMA this year. As far as a lucrative opportunity into boxing, I think he's kind of tapped out with that because of his age. But it was a hell of a run. You know, I think he did something that a lot of MMA fighters, the Conor McGregors of the world, will kind of look at and give him a head nod. Anytime you get an MMA fighter to get to that level and make that type of pay based on what they make, I think it's a win. And so I think he finishes his career out in the PFL, gets the heavyweight title, maybe defends it a couple times, retires, and goes out into the sunset.
So no more boxing, you say? Hey, you think?
I don't see him, because the thing is, for him to be a good boxer, he's going to have to just kind of take on the whole persona of being a boxer. He can't be both.
Right.
This late in his career, you know, if he was younger, if it was a 28-year-old Francis Ngannou, then, you know, we could have that conversation about him taking lesser fights and kind of building himself up.
Right.
This guy's 38 years old.
You know what?
He's on a couple knee surgeries.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a good run. It's over.
You know who else is actually a good opponent for Ngannou? Logan Paul. He's over 200 pounds. They both got the same. They're both close to the same amount of fights.
Logan Paul would not fight Ngannou.
He would not fight Ngannou.
I'm just saying. we're talking about cross promoting.
Well, I think he might have opportunities. Not saying that he won't have any more opportunities in boxing, but I'm talking about at the level where you're fighting relevant champions. I think this was the last time we'll see him against a relevant champion, and we'll see him go into mixed martial arts, do what he's supposed to do. And I think once he has success, if he gets back to some success in MMA. I don't think he'll want to come back and fight these type of caliber championship fights in
boxing.
Absolutely.
So
I think it was a great run. I enjoyed watching both of his fights. Definitely didn't like the outcome, but I think it was good for the sport at the end of the day.
Well, I'm gonna give him credit. Like, he made him some money. He fought the two top dogs, and now he know exactly where he stand at. But like Adi said, he's 30. Ngannou was 38 years old. In August, he's gonna be 38 in August. So I don't know how much fighting he got in anything left, you know what I'm saying? So we gonna see. But Joshua, we gonna see what happens after this. I know it's some stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, some fighters could last that time, you know what I mean? So you gotta look at, like, you got people like Bernard Hopkins. It's really up to Ngannou's condition and how he's, you know,
yeah,
doing his nutrition too. You know, some guys could actually pull it off, you know?
Yeah.
True. Well, I want to thank Julio from Hardcore Bangers. I want to thank Byron. I'm Zach Rose, my partner, Mr. Adi Wally. You're watching Spectator Sport. Remember, go on to that page, subscribe to that page. And I think I pronounced all my names right this time. I made sure. Y'all got on me and I'm with it. So I went and fixed that. But thank y'all. We'll see y'all later. Peace.